All right, hour number two of the show. Luke Lipinski in for Dave Burns. It's the Burns and Gambo show, and obviously a lot going on with the news you just heard from Sarah right there, that Malcolm Butler has been placed on the reserve retired list. So, Gambo, the Cardinals, in the midst of all this, had to make their final cuts today, obviously, by 1 o'clock. So now they have their 53-man roster, and they don't have the guy that, yes, he was being outplayed, it sounds like, during camp, but the guy that, you know, a month ago was supposed to be their number one corner for this season.
No, this is, this is going to be tough. This is a position of, you know, it's just a challenging position. I know when you're going to say weakness, but it's a challenging position. You're going to rely very heavily on a rookie in Marco Wilson, who has been lights out. He has played great. He has turned a lot of heads from day one. So this isn't like, hey, like even if you did not have Butler retiring right now, we're still saying the same thing. Man, Marco Wilson's been good. Marco Wilson's been really good. That looks like a great draft pick. He could play right away. But now you're throwing him into the fire. Remember, they threw Byron Murphy into the fire his first year. He was a second-round pick. You know, very, very early in the second round, maybe even being the first pick of the second round, he got thrown into the fire. And he did okay. He did okay. You know, he wasn't great. I mean, he got beat some, but, you know, he did okay. But now you look at him and he's a stud. Like, Byron Murphy's going to have a great year. He's a really good corner. It took him two seasons to get to the point right now where you say, wow, this guy could be a number one corner. So I don't know what you can expect out of, you know, Marco Wilson. But about Byron Murphy, he got thrown into that fire. I mean, they had injuries and they had issues. And now Pat Pete was suspended. And, you know, Byron Murphy had to play right away. And, again, there was some growing pains. But the kid did, you know, he went out there and he played as hard as he could. And Marco Wilson's going to have to do the same thing. There's going to be frustration and it'll be growing pains. But I believe that he'll end up being the starter at cornerback along with Byron Murphy.
I guess what's tough for me, and this is not anything the Cardinals have done wrong, but like I viewed the season as a, you got to win now. You got to make the playoffs. There's all that talk about, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's on the hot seat if they don't make the playoffs. Whether that's true or not, I think Steve Keim went out and built this team to make the playoffs right now. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but there's certainly a scenario where even if Marco Wilson comes in and is outstanding for a rookie at a position that's challenging to step in and be outstanding right out of the gate, even if he's able to do that, I mean, Sarah just had the poll question. You are absolutely depending on him. You're absolutely depending on Zaven Collins, and you would like contributions from Rondale Moore, too. That's three rookies you're pretty reliant on for a team that I don't think I'm the only one that looks at them as they have to win now.
I mean, every team in the league is going to be reliant on some rookies. Yeah. I mean, every team in the league. You know, I mean, Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl last year with a rookie at guard.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it happens. So you got to rely on, you know, Tristan Wirfs was a rookie, and he was outstanding. I mean, he was outstanding, and he played all the time. So that's just what happens. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to rely on the rookies, and you just got to hope that they do a good job. You also hope that you've got depth. You know, you hope that you have, you know, good depth at the position. That's the question mark right now. See, if you said, okay, look, I like Wilson better than a couple of veterans, so the veteran's going to be the backups, you know, then you're like, okay, I mean, that's not so bad. Like what the Suns did, right? I mean, the yeah. Suns had a lot of young players on their roster, but they had quality depth at backup. For a lot of guys were, you know, whether it was Etuan Moore or whether it was Langston Galloway or, you know, guys that they had coming off the bench, a lot of those guys were veteran players. And, you know, JaVale McGee will come off the bench this year, veteran player. So, you know, if your fourth and fifth guys were a couple of veterans with 3, 4, 5 years experience in the league, I think you'd feel a little bit better. But I think the next best guy is another rookie. So you got your top three, and then who's your four? Is it Gowan? Because, again, so now your depth is a rookie. So that's where I believe that they will be very active in adding a player probably within the next 24 hours to this roster that will have some, you know, veteran presence on the team.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. You just hit it right there. Okay, Byron Murphy, I have a lot of confidence in him. Robert Alford, if he's on the field, okay. And if Marco Wilson's going to be this impressive, that's great. But the thing is, there's no safety net, like you just said. And so that's why, with all due respect to Tay Gowan, who may end up having a great career in this league, it's tough to view a guy that's never played an NFL game as a safety net behind another rookie at a position that's obviously very important. I mean, you can't really hide your corners if they're struggling. So, you know, to your point right there, they're probably going to have to go out and get somebody Now the question is who that somebody might be.
People have asked me about Trufant. He's a former Pro Bowl cornerback, but you got to go back 5 years the last time, you know, he was any good. I mean, he had an injury-shortened season last year with the Falcons. He signed with the Lions. The Lions were terrible. 31st in yard, 26th in points, and they cut him. So, you know, he's a guy that you kind of look at and you say, okay, he's got a lot of experience. You know, why didn't the Bears want him? Signed a one-year deal for about $1 million with the Bears, and he gets cut. I mean, he missed 7 games with the Falcons in 2019. He missed games last year, you know, with the Lions. He's played 17 games the last 2 years, and he's 5 years removed from that Pro Bowl season. He's 3 years removed from playing 16 games in a season. He's 31. So, you know, people have asked me about Gilmore. Gilmore got put on the PUP list. He's not going to play for 6 weeks. He hasn't practiced since December. So you start to look at, you know, Richard Sherman. I mean, you want to go out and get Richard Sherman?
Is he going to be a backup? I mean, that's the other thing. Are you going to be able to talk a guy like Richard Sherman into coming here as the backup?
I mean, he's got nowhere to go. You want to play? You're going to go where there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
If that's your best option, that's your best option.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do something. I mean, it's unbelievable that they're in this position. In case you're just joining us, too, the developing story from yesterday afternoon has fully developed. Field Yates tweeting out that Malcolm Butler has been officially placed on the reserve retired list. Now, Bird, you texted me the definition of the reserve retired list, and it essentially means if he were to unretire, the Cardinals still have his rights. But that is, I guess, good in theory, but it doesn't do anything for them right now. I mean, they're going to have to go out and get somebody, Gamba, that, like you said, is probably, you know, at this point, they're off the scrap heap. Doesn't mean you can't find anybody. This is what Steve Keim has been good at in the past, is finding guys in a moment like this where it's like, we can find somebody that somebody else didn't want and we can make him good, but now he has to do it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, you're gonna have to search these way. You know, you're looking for a guy that's been in the league for 2 or 3 years. I think you've got two rookies you got to count on. You're looking for a guy been in the league for a couple of years, has a little bit of experience, you know, under his belt. Buffalo just cut a guy named Cam Lewis, smaller guy. He's a smaller cornerback, but he was just cut. He's got a couple of years experience under his belt.
I'll take him.
I know exactly.
Anybody.
Right? He's just small. He's small cornerback, but it's okay. I mean, you need somebody. You need to get somebody. So we'll see. I think in the next 24 hours they'll add somebody, Luke. But I don't think you will add anybody that's better than the top three guys that they got. You're not going to get anybody that's better than Robert Alford. You're not going to get anybody better than Marco Wilson. You're not going to get anybody better than Byron Murphy. So I wouldn't expect it. If you're thinking, hey, they're going to get a guy that's going to replace Butler and be a number one or number two cornerback, I highly doubt that is going to happen. I highly doubt that they're going to be able to get somebody right now that is a number one or two, number two cornerback. They don't become available.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like you said earlier, every team's relying on a rookie or two somewhere. It's just where this is not something they had planned for. Like Zaven Collins, I look at the Cardinals and I think, okay, Steve Keim, Cliff Kingsbury, they had it in their mind that Zaven Collins was going to be a rookie playing that position. And like Bird just said, they have Jordan Hicks behind him if they need to bring in a vet. This is more concerning to me because they didn't plan on having to start Marco Wilson when they took him in the fourth round a couple months ago. And yet here we are, and he's been impressive. But now this is, if you're a Cardinals fan, you kind of hold your breath now going forward because these three guys, there's just no margin for error with them.
Yeah, there's no margin for error, and you've got to have depth. I mean, now here's the thing, too. I mean, you know, if you get one more guy that goes down, you're in a boatload of trouble.
Yeah.
You're in a boatload of trouble. So, you know, I would look at this Cam Lewis out of Buffalo. He could play inside. He could play outside. He's been in the league for a couple of years. He played at the University of Buffalo, so they knew him real well. They drafted him. That was a tough cut for them to make, but they ended up cutting him. But that's a name. He just got cut. Cam Lewis, Buffalo Bills, 5'9", apparently doesn't play very small. That's a guy you can look at and you can say, okay, been in a league for a few. That's what you're looking for, right? I got a guy that's been in a league for a few years. He's not a rookie. He understands the game. He understands how to prepare and get ready. So to me, that's a guy, you know, you're looking for somebody like that. Somebody that's got a little bit of experience under their belt playing a year or two.
The Cardinals did release their final cuts. Not anything real surprising. I mean, the only surprising one was Keyshawn Johnson yesterday. But a lot of these guys we talked about yesterday, Jace Whitaker, James Wiggins, those guys officially released to reduce the roster to 53 today. Daryl Worley, Sean Williams also in the secondary for the Cardinals. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, they're going to need, as Gambo's saying, they're going to have to replenish that depth outside the organization. Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll be giving away college football tickets, so text Sparky to 620-620. When we come back, a busy day around the NFL, as you would expect, and the on-again, off-again potential trade saga for Deshaun Watson. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, as you would expect, a lot going on around the National Football League today, as it is cut down day. And we mentioned the Cardinals have made their cuts. If you're putting any attention on the Houston Texans, it's to see what may or may not happen with Deshaun Watson and Gambo. This was Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network today on a potential trade.
They are going to do nothing. My understanding, and this is something I've reported with my esteemed colleague over there, Tom Pelissero, is that the Texans are not expected to trade Deshaun Watson before today's 4 p.m. roster cutdown deadline, which means he is expected to be on their roster. What happens then, what happens next, is really anyone's guess. Deshaun Watson has vowed not to play for the Texans, but he is expected, barring some dramatic change, to be on their final or initial roster, I should say. And of course, the Texans have been open to exploring potential trades for Deshaun Watson, who asked to be traded. There were some teams interested. There were some discussions, but nothing came to fruition.
We'll see, yeah. Right? I mean, you gotta pay him all this money, and you can't. Like I said yesterday, I mean, I would trade him, and I'd have some contingencies in there. I'd have some contingencies into, you know, Deshaun Watson, but you know, the commissioner's list and the exempt list and everything that's going on with him and the Dolphins and. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, there's stories out that the Dolphins owner really wants Deshaun Watson, but yeah. You know, obviously they're not expected to trade him prior to the cutdown. And this is a guy when he plays, 25 years old, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But, man, you got 22, you know, suits against him, and it's a mess. I mean, it's just too risky, you know, for a team to give up three first-round picks in a couple of seconds to go get Deshaun Watson right now. Way too risky.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, certainly. 100% I agree with your contingency plan. I can't imagine a team being willing to trade anywhere near multiple first-round picks for him without some stipulations of, hey, if this guy, like, never plays for us, we want those picks back and you can have third-rounders or whatever. I'm looking at that story you're talking about on Pro Football Talk that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, quote, really wants, unquote, Deshaun Watson. But you know, again, if you're Miami, you were 10-6 last season. You, I think, in a lot of ways are built to win now. I don't know what sort of message it's sending to Tua if he's constantly hearing that your team might be looking to trade you already.
Yeah, but you've got to deal with that. Like, you know, I mean, that's, listen, you're not Josh Allen. Like, you know, the jury's still out on you. That's like, I mean, Josh Rosen had to deal with that first year. Hey, they're gonna trade you. I mean, you were here for a year. I mean, it happens. Sam Darnold with the Jets. I mean, you think you're going to be a franchise quarterback somewhere. I mean, if you don't prove yourself early, they have doubts about you. So that I don't really worry about, oh, what's he going to think? What's he going to think? Play better. Play better so it's not an option for them.
Yeah, I guess I'm just going more along the lines of, if you're going to try and bring Deshaun Watson in, I mean, are you going to do it mid-season? Or are you going to – I don't know. I keep coming back to the idea I just can't imagine trading for him right now. It doesn't mean I don't think a team will. And honestly, if you told me right now – you know, you have to pick one team. I probably would pick the Dolphins if the owner really wants the guy. And there's been a lot of stuff linking them to being interested in him. And they have the draft capital and the pieces to make that trade. They make maybe the most sense. I don't know that I would do it at this point.
No, you could wait it out. But here's the thing. I mean, if he eventually gets, do you take the risk, right? If he eventually gets cleared of everything, well, then how many teams want Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, all of them, pretty much.
Anybody needs a quarterback. If he comes out of this okay, everybody's going to want him. So that's the question. Like, if you're the Dolphins, you might have a shot right now to get him, and you might be the. But you know, it's a huge risk for general manager to trade all of that inventory for a guy like Deshaun Watson. That, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if he's even going to be able to play for you?
Yeah, I mean, you risk alienating a bunch of your fans. It's, I mean, it's complicated for so many different reasons. It's already difficult enough to make a trade for a quarterback that a lot of people consider one of the best five in the league when last season wrapped up before all this stuff came out.
Look, they took Tua with that fifth overall pick a couple of years ago. And then last year, you know, this guy wanted to move up for Joe Burrow. The owner wanted to move up to get Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Bengals wouldn't do it, right? The Bengals wouldn't do it. I just don't think they're sold on Tua. I don't think they're sold on Tua. You'll go into the season with him as your guy, but you've got in Deshaun Watson. You know what you've got if he plays. You've got one of the best if he plays.
Yeah,
you got a 10-year answer at the quarterback position. You got a guy. You got a guy that's going to be your quarterback for 10 years. Right now, you don't even know if Tua is going to be your quarterback next year.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we can stick at this position. I mean, the Cardinals were one of the first teams to really show just because you took a quarterback in the first round doesn't mean you're committed to him for 5 years. And the guy that they did that with was Josh Rosen, who made the Falcons, Gambo, and there's a pretty good chance. The depth chart I'm looking at right now has him third, but he's only been on the team for a week, and he's behind Felipe Franks. So I'm assuming he will move into second behind Matt Ryan.
Yeah, no, he made the cut, signed with Atlanta last Tuesday, practiced for 3 days, then played in the second half of that game against Cleveland on Sunday, threw a touchdown pass. The head coach, Arthur Smith, said that he did well. You know, they thought that he did well. So a 9 out of 18, 118 yards, and the only passing touchdown for the Falcons in the entire preseason. Rosen said it was refreshing to be able to play again. I'm just working to get my confidence back. So, you know, he's got an opportunity here with Atlanta. You get opportunities when quarterbacks go down. You know, he's a guy right now. He hooked on to a good situation. So, and Matt Ryan's not young, but he's probably going to be their quarterback for another 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah, I think you just said it right there. Whether you believe Josh Rosen's ever going to be an NFL quarterback or not, he really has never been in a good situation.
No,
right?
He's been in bad. No, the two situations he started with were terrible, the Cardinals and the Dolphins.
Two of the worst.
Yeah, you know, you didn't start off like Josh Allen started off on a team that was good. That was a good team. That team won like 9 games the year before. So, you know, he got him with Tyrod Taylor. He got himself in a good situation. It was a lot easier. When you get drafted on a good team and you get to play right away, big difference than getting drafted with a team like the Cardinals or the Dolphins those first 2 years. Those teams weren't any good.
Matt Ryan's 36, and I know it's quarterback, and sometimes quarterbacks can play into their 40s without an issue, but, you know, sort of following that same line of thinking, this could be a really good position for Rosen because he could be the backup for a year or two if he's able to kind of show what he's able to do. I mean, like we said yesterday, the biggest thing for him, find a good situation and stick. It's not like Josh Rosen's going to be starting for a team this year, but if you could have a couple years developing in the same system behind Matt Ryan, I'll tell you what, Gambo, I'm going to be astonished if Josh Rosen's able to carve out an NFL career after the way things looked a week and a half ago.
Without even playing, right? But a lot of guys, there's been a lot of guys who have been able to hang around this league for a long time without getting much playing time at all. You know, you got to be a good teammate. I mean, listen, you know what you earn on a one-year deal? $850,000. Mm. That's what you get. I mean, you get $850,000. That's what your salary is for a guy like that signing on a minimum deal. It's not very much, but you know, if you could make $1 million a year for 5 years, you got $5 million. You're in a good spot.
I'll take it. Also, other NFL news: the Saints putting Michael Thomas on the PUP list. We're seeing some of these guys on the PUP list. Stephon Gilmore on the PUP list, which obviously ties into potential Cardinals options at corner. But those are two pretty big names that aren't going to be playing to start the season.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen with Gilmore. I mean, he was the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. He's out 6 games, no matter what. He's out 6 games. He tore that quad last year, hasn't practiced at all, and he's got a contract dispute with the team because he's not happy with his salary of $7 million. He wants more. So he's out for 6 games for sure. And then Michael Thomas, you know, he's going to be out because he's on the physically unable to perform list. He's not going to be able to play until week 7 when they take on
Seattle.
So he's out until that game. He missed 9 games last year after he had that injury. He missed 9 games. But when he plays, he's dynamic. He's one of the best guys out there. Now, they've got some young talent. They got that Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith. So they've got some younger players that could fill in while he's out. But that's a tough loss for New Orleans, especially no Drew Brees, and now you're breaking in basically a new quarterback.
That's to me, a team to look at if you're trying to find a path for the Cardinals into the playoffs if they were to do it as a wild card. I know it's tough to feel this way right now with the news that Malcolm Butler just retired within the last hour. But, yeah. I mean, New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback. And Michael Thomas, I mean, you said it. He was – but 2 years ago, he had 149 catches, which is just insane. But he's not playing the first basically third of the season, and they don't really know who their quarterback even is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at every team right now. Like the Bills released four cornerbacks: Elijah Griffin, Tim Harris, Cam Lewis, Nick McCloud, Rashad Wild Goose. You're gonna have 100 cornerbacks to choose from if you like a guy and you're the Cardinals. Like the other teams may look at adding a corner too. But a lot of teams are probably set at that position. But I'm looking at the cut tracker right now, team by team's looks. Man, there's a lot of cornerbacks that are out there that have gotten cut. I mean, a lot. So you're going to be able to, you know, Devontae Harris in Miami, Jordan Richards in Miami, Nigel Worry in Miami. Like, you go through, I'm going through this list right now just to see if any names pop for me. But there is a lot of players that got cut. I would be really surprised if the Cards aren't able to grab somebody by tomorrow.
All right, we come back. ASU football starts on Thursday. Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com will join us for a preview next. Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, we finally have college football back. In theory.
Let's go!
In its entirety for the Pac-12 here, Gambo. Coming up, ASU starts on Thursday in Southern Utah. We're joined right now by Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Chris, how you been?
I'm great. How are you, fellas?
Good. Excited about this game, just to get the season started. Not this game overall, but just to, you know, get the season started. I want to see what Zach Hill's offense is going to look like. Let's start with the defense. I think that this team... You know, Merlin Robinson came back and Chase Lucas came back. And, you know, they're going to have 10, 11, 12 guys get drafted off this roster. I think it's possible that they could have that many draft picks, especially when you look at how loaded they are on defense. With all of these players coming back, they're so senior-laden on that defense.
Easily one of the best defenses in the time that I've covered or even followed ASU. Totally agree. They will challenge recent records with how many guys end up getting drafted off of this team. I think it'll probably be the most this century at a minimum, especially if they have the type of year that they're capable of. Not just those linebackers, but you look up front, Tyler Johnson's an NFL prospect when he's playing at a high level. You have Adam Fields, I think, is underrated and has a very good chance to be drafted. Jack Jones is one of the better cover corners when everything is working for him. So across the board, really, don't see any weaknesses or flaws. They're going to have to make sure that they stop the run, especially with Jermaine Lole out. That's something I'm looking forward to seeing. And then how those linebackers do in pass coverage and drops and third downs and medium, that kind of thing as well. But they're going to dial it up. I mean, this is I don't think that we're going to see Southern Utah even get into scoring territory in the first half of this game on Thursday.
I hate that blow with them losing Jermaine Lole. I feel bad for the kid, but he's such a dynamic player. That's a tough loss. Let's talk about the offense. There's no N'Keal Harry. There's no Brandon Ayuk right now. They don't have that breakout player at this point. I mean, Ricky Pearsall, a little bit last year, you know, you saw him do some nice things. L.B. Bunkley Shelton, a little bit like Kyle Williams. Johnny Wilson, you got a big target there. Really struggled in that first game last year at the Coliseum, but he's got size. Andre Johnson, you got the Utah transfer, and Brian Thompson. What are you looking at right now? Has anybody popped a wide receiver for you so far?
Not enough. I think that's the best way to look at it. You mentioned all of the relevant players here. I think it's going to have to be something that they do by committee overall. Ricky Pearsall and L.B. Bunkley Shelton are the most reliable, I would say. Johnny Wilson has the most big play potential, but also not there yet in terms of every rep, every down, getting the job done. You have guys who can stretch the field, take the top off the defense on the outside, primarily Andre Johnson, Jordan Porter, some of Brian Thompson, as you mentioned, coming in from Utah. I think at a minimum, they have to be able to convert that deep ball opportunity to keep safeties kind of backing off and not let coordinators bring that defense down and really key on what ASU is doing in the run game, which is one of the better elements of any team in the Pac-12.
Talking to Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Well, let's talk about the run game then, Chris. I mean, it was so limited in what we got to actually see from this team last year, their first year without Eno Benjamin, but Chip Trianum and Rashad White looked amazing, and they were supposed to be amazing, and they were. Do you see more of the same from them this year?
Yeah, I doubt that they're going to average the type of performance that they did last year in four games, right? You had 10.0 yard per carry by Rashad White, was first in the NCAA. It's not going to be like that, but I do anticipate that ASU will probably be right around maybe 200 yards per game rushing, first or second probably in the Pac-12. Those guys are very complimentary in what they do. Also look for White to be somebody you can throw the ball to on the perimeter, get him involved in ways that maybe take some of the pressure off of your receivers. They have a third string running back, Daniel Nagata, who's one of the most improved guys on the roster. He was a four-star recruit out of high school. They can even mix him in now in a way that keeps the other guys fresh for the second half of the season. And especially against Southern Utah, people are going to see him pop in this game, I think, because not a lot of people, you know about him, but he's also a really dynamic type of a guy as well. When you have the offensive line that you have, basically four or five returning starters, Henry Hattis looks better than he did last year when he was coming back from a leg injury. I think they're going to enable a lot of potency, and that's what makes Herm Edwards really comfortable, right? That run game, that potent defense, maybe some big play opportunities mixed in, get into some play action with your offense to keep Jaden Daniels feeling good about everything. That's how they can put together a pretty robust offense.
It's tough to take that next step as a quarterback when you only have four games. But in your mind, now that they have a full season in front of them and they've got expectations, what do you need to see from Jaden Daniels as he enters this season?
He's got to turn that command notch up to about 10, right? We know he has ice water in his veins. He can strap a team on his back in the fourth quarter and make winning unannounced plays. But from a series-to-series basis, is he going to have the type of command that's going to allow him to make checks at the line of scrimmage, to get the right play on situationally, to see what defenses are presenting and know how to take advantage of that? That's what I want to see. And then from the pocket, is he going to be able to have the accuracy to pinpoint, locate the ball where it needs to be, threading it through windows, getting it into the intermediate opportunities when you need to move the chains? I think those are the things that operationally, if he's able to do that, it really takes them to a different level.
The running game is interesting. You've got these two dynamic backs, and I even think their third back, Nagata, I think he's really talented too. But the one thing that nobody's really talking about in this offense, the Zach Hill offense, they are going to throw the ball to the running back quite a bit. So they've got, if they don't have the great wide receivers, and maybe one will emerge, but they do have the ability to swing that ball out to these running backs. These guys can all catch it.
Yeah, if you go back and look at what they did at Boise State, it was 40% two tight ends, a ton of passes to the running backs and tight ends when they were capable. Rashad White is the type of guy we saw it against USC last year. Remember, throw the ball into the flat. He outruns the entire USC defense in the Coliseum. That was a pretty great introduction to major college football. He's got that type of a capability. That's what leads someone to be a national stage type of a player, right? He's probably not going to have 1,500 rushing yards. He may not even be what Eno Benjamin was as a pure rusher, given how deep that they are at that position group. But he's someone that can make a whole bunch of guys miss and look silly coming up with open air in their hands as he runs by them on his way to the end zone.
You know, what's intriguing to me, Chris, is this, the size, right? You've got Johnny Wilson at the Z. He's 6'7". And he did have those struggles early last year. But then you got your tight end and Curtis Hodges. He's 6'8". I'm intrigued by the red zone opportunities that may present itself with the size that Arizona State has. I mean, there's not going to be many corners that are going to be able to match up with these guys.
Yeah, ultra rare. And the red zone, running the seam, you have Jalen Conyers, the Oklahoma transfer. He can jump out the gym, and he's shown that he has the ability to be a red zone target, had two touchdowns against the second team in the maroon and gold scrimmage in the spring. So I think they have multiple weapons. And Zach Hill does a very good job of creatively figuring out how to utilize those guys. We're going to see defensive backs trying to cover Johnny Wilson and just be bouncing off of him in some opportunities when they get into some slants or you throw the corner fade ball, those types of things. I just think that the tight ends overall, they need to show that they're ready for this. Curtis Hodges is someone who I've just been anticipating having the ability to break out for the last couple of years. It hasn't fully developed for him, but you talk to NFL scouts and they're really intrigued coming to practice and watching him and seeing what he could potentially be. The opportunity is there for him and those other guys, but collectively we have not seen an ASU team have that sort of size, athleticism, dimension in recent years.
Chris Cartman of Sun Devil Source joining us. Chris, my last one for you. Just the talent on this team that you're talking about, I think a lot of ASU fans have been anticipating either last season or now this season. But with everything else going on, like, what's the general vibe around this group with the season about to start here in 2 days?
I think it's a bunker mentality. The players really actually love these coaches. They want to go to war for them. They feel like, whether rightly or not, that if they win a lot of games and they're really successful, that has the ability to impact what happens with the staff. And they all came back for a reason. This is the second most number of super seniors of any team in the country. And so they're very mature, they're seasoned, experienced, they're focused on the task at hand. I don't really see too many distractions in them. Obviously, you have coaches that emotionally are going to be split into some different directions right now, but the type of team that they have leads itself to, in my opinion, there being fewer possibilities or instances where they might slack off or be prone to having lapses.
Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you throughout the season.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Chris Cartman joining us right there. ASU taking on Southern Utah on Thursday night. When we come back, the news of the day, Malcolm Butler officially on the reserve retired list. So the Cardinals do not have the guy that they originally signed as their number one corner for this season. We'll talk about the impact on the team and how reliant they're going to be on rookies next. Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, the news of the day, Malcolm Butler officially on the reserved retired list. The Cardinals put him there.
I saw a great tweet. Somebody said, man, Malcolm Butler retired before Larry Fitzgerald did. Oh, man, that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty spot
Butler
on.
Retired before Fitz did.
Yeah. That's,
can Fitz play corner?
That's worth a try, right? Anything's worth a try at this point.
Wow. I was looking at all the players that were cut. My God, every team cut five cornerbacks. Now, I don't know how good any of these guys are. A lot of these guys getting cut. But, I mean, you got to tell me that, you know, if there's 100-plus cornerbacks that have been cut, Cardinals can't find a couple that they like better than their fourth and fifth guy? I think they can.
It's just a matter of how good they're going to be. But I think you hit it on the head yesterday when you said, you know, you go to Vance Joseph and you're like, hey, are there guys here that maybe you're familiar with that 28 of the teams in the league are going to look at and be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But Vance Joseph may look at and say, okay, I have a history with this guy. He knows how to play the defense I want to play specifically, and maybe we can get him up to speed by week two. I think that's the first guy you're talking to is Vance Joseph, right?
Yeah, I don't think you're looking for a guy that's going to be a top three. Again, I think I'm going to continue to say this. I think it's highly unlikely that they are going to find a guy that's good enough to replace their first, second, or third cornerback. Their first cornerback is Byron Murphy. He's really good. Their second cornerback is Marco Wilson. I don't know if he's any good, but he's had a great camp. I think he'll be number two. And then I think Robert Alford, who hasn't played in 2 years, but has had a great camp, he's your number three. Do I think they're going to find somebody that's better than those three guys? Probably not. I mean, probably not. So I think whatever guy they're going to get, but I think the guy that they get could be better than Tay Gowan. I think that they will find a cornerback that is better than Tay Gowan. But I don't know that they're going to find one better than the other three guys.
Yeah, look, with all due respect to Tay Gowan, I hope that they can find somebody that's better than he is right now. He has never played an NFL down. And look, neither has Marco Wilson, but the situation you're in is you're kind of you're stuck. You're relying on him. So it's That's just the reality. I mean, he's looked good in camp, and you hope that translates. It has to translate now. You know, you said it earlier, Gambo, and it doesn't It doesn't make me feel any better, but there's some truth to it, certainly, where there are teams, most teams around the league are relying on at least one rookie somewhere. That's just, that's life in the NFL. So the Cardinals are just relying on maybe two or three at this point in pretty prominent positions. Two of them in very prominent positions now. I mean, Zaven Collins, you knew he was a first-round pick. The team flat out told him and Jordan Hicks, Zaven Collins, you're going to start. We're relying on you quite a bit. I can't imagine when they took Marco Wilson in the fourth round, they expected him to be starting in week one. But that's the hand that has been dealt to you at this point.
That's why you took two cornerbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you took a couple of cornerbacks. Listen, you know, there was – where did Asante – like, they liked Asante Samuel, and I think that they would have drafted Asante Samuel, you know, but it just didn't work out that way. So he was drafted by the Patriots in the fourth round. And I think, like, at that point, I think that they know that he might have been a guy – that they grabbed there, but I think he went, and we have to look at the fourth round of the NFL draft, but I think that's a guy that they were kind of looking at.
Patrick Peterson has chimed in.
You knew it. I knew he was going to chime in. I knew it.
Didn't take long.
Like I had a countdown. I have my timer on right now. I'm at 46 minutes.
Yeah.
I knew that he was going to chime in. All right. What did he say?
He. I guess this looks like it on Instagram.
Karma. Did he just do karma?
No. He all read. It's an Instagram story. It looks like, and it just says, "I guess it wasn't meant to be Ward." Which is what, weird and bored? Is that what you said, Bird?
According to Urban Dictionary, that's one of the top definitions, that it's a combination between weird and bored.
That's where the season has gone. We've had to go to Urban Dictionary to anticipate what's going
on. That can't be true.
Either way.
That can't be true.
He's got the shrug emoji on there, too.
Ward? Yes. W-A-R-D?
W-O-R-E-D.
W-O-R-E-D.
Maybe he meant to type go red, and it just kind of, there's a typo. I don't know. But either way, the I guess Ward? It wasn't meant to be is pretty clear on an all red background.
Usually when you search a word on Urban Dictionary, you get like 12, 15 different definitions.
Yeah.
This one only has two. So I'm thinking
this
is,
well,
the first one, the top definition, it is a word that is used for being extremely bored when using the same websites over and over again. And then the second one, Word refers to the state of weirdness and weird behavior one enters into when he or she is immensely bored.
So it's got to be the second one.
Why is he bored?
I think he's trying to say, like, he's bored of the situation. Like, it's no sweat off his back, you know?
Listen, it's going to be a debate that comes up, okay? People are now going to be like, should they have just kept Patrick Peterson? They'd have a veteran cornerback who didn't tackle anybody last year, but you'd have a veteran cornerback. I mean, if Malcolm Butler would have stayed, I think it would have worked out good. They liked Malcolm Butler more than they liked Patrick Peterson. They weren't going to pay Patrick Peterson decent money. Patrick Peterson didn't get much money out in the open market. What did he get, $7-8 million for Minnesota?
Yeah.
So he didn't get a lot of money. Nobody was knocking on his door saying, oh, my God, we love you, Pat P. We're going to give you 3 years and guarantee you $22 million. Nobody did that. I'll give you a one-year deal. I mean, nobody. Listen, Pat P. could toot his own horn all day long. Nobody wanted to give him more than a one-year deal. He didn't get anywhere near what he was making. He didn't get anywhere near what he wanted. Why? Because he wasn't that good. It's Malcolm Butler, same thing. I mean, nobody wanted to pay Malcolm Butler a lot of money. Cardinals got him for $3 million.
Well, so they got his name for $3 million.
They get all that money back. Like, yeah. They get that money back. That's money that they're going to have on there. He was going to be a cap hit of over $2 million, a little bit over $2 million. They get all that cap space back. Now they got a little extra cap space. I don't know if it means anything because – whatever guy you're getting now, it's very, you know, unless you make a trade, like whatever guy you're getting right now is going to be, you know, you're going to sign that guy to a vet's minimum deal. He's going to be happy to be in the NFL.
The second guessing, like, you can always find ways to second guess. I think this would be purely hindsight being 2020, though. Like, if you want to second guess taking Andy Isabella over DK Metcalf, by all means, because I think most people in the moment were like, wait a minute, what are we doing? But this one, like you pointed out there, Gambo, and we knew this to be true, the Cardinals had a plan. They let Patrick Peterson go because they thought they were getting Malcolm Butler. And up until an hour and a half ago, they were getting Malcolm Butler. So I find it hard to second-guess Steve Keim on this one. If you want to say they should have drafted more corners early or they should have whatever, but to say, well, you know, in retrospect, would you rather have Patrick Peterson right now or Malcolm Butler? Well, yeah, now I'd rather have Peterson because he's playing and Butler isn't. But how are you supposed to know that?
You're not. You're not. I mean, you're not. You couldn't have ever, figured this out. I mean, you just couldn't have figured out that this was going to happen. So, you know, now you just got to deal with it. What sucks about it is, like, you could have, if you would have known this 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. you could have been in a much better position to address this issue.
Yeah, yeah, the timing's not great here. Kicking off the season in less than 2 weeks against the team that has Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, and you are relying on Byron Murphy, who looks good, and a rookie corner, and Robert Alford, who hasn't played in 2 years. So there's some questions now. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. When we come back, 4 o'clock reset. A lot of stuff going on. Of course, the top story, though, involves the Cardinals and their secondary. That's next. It's the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.